Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 13, Beneath the Surface, Issue 3, Bubbling Upwards. On the cover, an enormous man in a Falcon uniform stands atop the prison base, with Puck, Frequency, and the siblings surrounding him. All four are doing their best to beat him as flames explode from the base below them. He holds them off, muscles bulging, and bellows, "This'll teach you to mess with the director!" New on this cover, a special glossy sticker with a version of the Falcon logo wreathed in flames. Embossed letters proclaim that this is the first step on the road to Falcon Down.
So when we last left our team, Upload and Frequency were in the command center of this Falcon base, kind of getting everything ready to figure out how to open the doors, essentially. And then, unbeknownst to Frequency, cripple the base. When we last left Puck, he was downstairs with loadout above the detention center. And the last thing we learned is that Falcon is in an attempt to hold Windshear after his escape from the interstitial scene. Inadvertently or intentionally murdering him.
Oh my god. Puck, they're killing him. We've got to stop this.
Do you know where he is? Is he in the detention center still? Or do they take him somewhere else?
Yeah, I've got it here. It's F-83.
Okay. And Puck is going to just look around real quick to see if he can like figure out the numbering conventions.
Yeah.
And once he feels confident that he knows where that is in relation to him,
yeah,
he's just going to go for it.
Okay,
if that means like jumping over the side of this, like, is it a big spiral staircase?
It's a big spiral.
If that means jumping off the side of this and like falling through this hole, then that's what he's going to do.
I think that's what it means, because that's awesome.
Yeah. And probably a lot of like dropping diagonally and then like grabbing and then pushing off,
yeah,
and parkouring downwards, basically.
And we get loadout up there just going, "What the hell, Puck?" And she starts like running down the ramp. And like just circling around the long way. And at this point, there's definitely like, there's other Falcon, there's like little security spaces along the route down. And like, so we get a couple of panels of her just like fighting with Falcon guards and taking them down pretty handily. But
she's just a little bit less willing to just throw herself off of a
she's
cliff
not
than
jumping,
Puck is.
Yeah, she's not jumping off a cliff. Frequency, you and Upload are up there.
Yep.
And he's saying, okay, we got to turn off security and then open up the cells. Matt might help me out with this.
Yeah, sure. Which cells?
All of them.
All of them?
All of them. Listen, I get it. It's a lot of people, but none of them were taken fairly. None of them have had trials. None of them had a chance to defend themselves. It's now or never, man.
Okay, what's our plan for getting them out of here?
We've got a bus coming.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
And he claps you on the shoulder and jumps into the computer.
Okay.
So, are you doing this? You've letting out 100-some, maybe even 200 mutants that Falcon has deemed too dangerous to be among society?
I mean, the only way to help them get to Windshear is probably also dropping all of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers. And the reason I'm having you do this is just because this is a relatively secure sort of setup.
Yeah. So a 7.
7? Okay, yep. Cool. So you can either mark a condition or it'll be unstable or temporary.
I like both of them. I think I'm going to mark off a condition.
Okay.
I think I'm going to be afraid.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's probably, that makes some sense. So yeah, so you pull down the security systems and like the two of you working together in tandem and over the comm, over the shared comm comes, all right, opening in 3, 2, 1. And as you're still like falling, you see doors start to open.
Okay.
And like some of it is just grates moving. Some of it is like laser lines turning off. Some of it is like there's a couple more of those tanks that just kind of like open.
Slurp out people.
And
there's like force fields going down.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one cell that opens and it's just it's a solid door and it opens and just like mist pours out.
Yes. Ugh. Yeah. There's another one that looks like a stone wall and it pulls open.
Oh, nice.
And just like a huge lumbering metal shape just like comes out of it and just like reaches up and like magnetizes up to the ceiling. That's more or less what's going on, is these people are seeing that they have been opened and that they have been let out, but they're not jumping into like prison riot mode.
Yeah.
By marking a condition, you didn't make it unstable. And so for now, you've got a lot of just mutants that are abruptly out and looking around for what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Puck.
Yes.
You dive off of the wall opposite the cell. The lasers that were keeping the cell closed, essentially, drop down. And there are 8 Falcon agents inside that are holding the things on. And they look over their shoulder and go, what the hell?
He's falling and he hits the like the railing or whatever on the side, like the side of the wall on opposite the cell that he can now see his wind shears.
Yeah.
And you're right. I can see the lasers drop. And Puck just uses that momentum to just like push off the wall.
Nice.
And like just incredible horizontal momentum to send himself like sliding into the room. So he almost like slides under the operation table.
Okay.
That they've got him on. So that he comes up on the other, on the far side. Like there's probably a moment where he hits and like he hits the far wall.
Yeah.
And is like next to the other, one of the other people who, like the guy who had been pummeled.
Yeah.
And he stands back up and he looks around at all these guys with the prod sticks.
Yeah.
Prodding Windshear. And he's going to say, oh, man, you guys must have been terrible at operation when you were kids. don't you know you're supposed to not get shocked? And I want to try to directly engage. What I want to try to do is, Puck has been exploring the idea that he can manipulate people's memories without making physical contact.
Okay.
And way back in the Christmas episode, he had, when pushed to it, had sort of temporarily like created like a memory gap in everybody's brains in like the whole room.
Yeah.
Just like disorienting people a little bit. And he wants to try to do that, to try to like get them to like shock everybody, like to forget what they were doing.
Nice.
And stop shocking him.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to... Are you trying to take them out?
My goal is to either take them out, but at the very least, make them stop shocking him.
Okay.
But this would definitely... I think that my primary goal is actually to get him to stop shocking him.
Okay.
So this might be an...
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
That's a 6, 7, 8. And do I have... this will be 9.
Okay, cool. So do you want to mark a condition or it'll be unstable or temporary?
I want to mark a condition.
Okay, cool.
I want to mark angry.
Cool. So you put out kind of the mental blast and they all like just draw back from what they're doing. And there's noise from like the hubbub outside. But the room you're in is just like eerily silent for a couple of seconds. And all there is just like the ragged breathing of Windshear. It's got kind of like a garbling, bubbling sound in it.
And Puck is going to just kind of like put a hand, like he's going to, first of all, he's going to vault over him.
Yeah.
And kind of like turn around because now he's by the door.
Yeah.
Or he's closer to the door. And he's going to kind of like just like pat on his stomach.
Yeah.
So like, come on, get up, 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 get up. Federico would kill me if I let you die. I know you're an asshole, but you've got to get up.
Nice. And so there's just like he lets out like another cough and starts to sit up. And you can see like one of his eyes is just completely swollen shut. Mm-hmm. He is messed up. He's not going to be any use.
Yeah.
All right. But he like kind of rolls his hips off the table and like gets his feet on the ground. He takes like a minute to just like kind of vomit up some blood and then stands back up and goes, where are we going?
Up.
Got it. And he just starts like kind of zombie walking out.
Yeah. I am going to be looking for a loadout.
Okay. She's pretty easy to find because she's screaming at the top of her lungs while firing plasma bolts into anything that looks
at
like
the criminals.
Anything that looks like a Falcon agent.
Okay. Okay.
And like she's also like she's gesturing with her big swords, going like, you know, like, come on, get moving. And the people are starting to like move up the ramp, mm-hmm. and like it's starting as we're all together. And people are starting to gain more momentum and starting to run.
And as we sort of like, as maybe like John has Windshear's arm over his shoulder helping him up.
Yeah.
We get to load out. Puck is just going to be like, hey, can you make him some like legs or something? Some kind of a crutches or something? You can do that, right?
Some legs or something?
Yeah, right now. Get this guy some legs.
I'm trying to, and she like, it's like she's frustrated with you. Go ahead and give me a provoke, actually.
Pay attention. This guy is injured. We need to... 5 plus superior.
Plus superior.
Which is 0 and minus 2.
Oh.
Uh-oh. So 3.
So 3. So you get to mark potential.
Yes.
So
it does not work.
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
It just means I get to make a move.
Okay.
She turns to the side and like starts trying to craft something. Mm-hmm. This crutches aren't weapons.
Yeah.
And so this is not in her
wheelhouse,
yeah. But so she's like trying
to make legs, not wheels.
Yeah.
She makes legs, she makes wheels, holds them up. No.
No.
Makes knives, holds them up.
No.
So she's trying to like work something out, and Windshear's now just like leaning against the railing, kind of like looking like a little spinny over the cliff. And then the doors to the detention center open again. And that enormous man that we saw, the 7 foot tall, very like put together Falcon. I don't want to say director, but mm-hmm. like the man who's in charge of this facility.
Yeah.
Steps out and looks out over everything. And just puts on like a sneer, and the mutants start like coming towards him and trying to just take him down as they run out.
Mm.
And he just starts leveling them. Like he swings a backhand and just like knocks 4 of them down. Your parole officer comes up and he just like grabs her and hurls her into a wall.
No.
He's just like, no one can get past him. He's holding the door on his own. Back in the security center.
Yeah.
Okay. So Upload just jumped out of the computer.
Okay.
And he like claps you on the shoulder and he's like, all right, great. We need to get down to the vehicle storage because we got to get out of here.
Okay.
We're going to be leaving with the mutants. The rest of these guys can sit and spin as far as I'm concerned.
Now, the rest of these guys meaning... all the Falcon people,
yeah,
right?
all these Falcon guys, and like they probably won't like die down here.
Yeah,
they're just gonna be stranded underwater.
What? Look at me.
I'm just waiting for you to do something, or them to do something.
And actually, let me make this a little easier for you. He also then like reaches into a pouch at his hip, and takes out a couple of little like things that are obviously small detonation devices. And just starts like slapping them onto the computers and systems in this room. And he's going like, let's just shut down their files, get rid of anything they've got stored here. We don't like having straight connections to stuff. Make it harder for old Upload to do things. How about that?
What are all these for?
Take out this whole area, right? Oh. Like no control center, They're not getting this thing up and going anytime soon.
Oh, okay, but like the Falcon agents will be fine, right?
I mean, not if they come in here and not if we stay in here.
Oh, okay, but we're only just taking out this control center.
And anything else we can find along the way. Here, and he hands you like a bag with some more detonators.
I thought we were just trying to get these people out.
Yeah, but if we get them out and then we let them keep doing their thing here, then they're just going to keep doing what they're doing.
But I mean, we're not going to kill them.
No, I'm sure they've got safety systems. They're going to get out. Like, you know, you saw those guys with the suits. I'm sure they'll be fine. We should go though.
Oh, all right. After you. I'm not sure which way we're going.
All right, cool. And he like just runs out of the center, and as he's running, you can see him just like chucking the detonators like really haphazardly.
Okay.
Just into any room that he passes. There's sometimes it's going into rooms that people are in, and there's like shouts of panic and stuff like that.
Okay. As we left,
yeah.
The bag that he tossed me, yeah. I threw under a desk.
Okay.
So I'm not nice. Just You're not even them. Taking it with me.
Yeah.
I almost even want to try deactivating. If like he's throwing it into a room that has like a whole bunch of people in it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to deactivate it, but I'm running by like I'm not stopping to look at it. I'm trying to see if there's a way I can turn it off.
Cool. And because you also probably don't want him to notice you deactivating these things.
That too.
Yeah. So control center, you're leaving to blow up.
Sure.
But things that are looking like they might threaten people.
No.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Okay.
That's a 7 on the dice?
10.
10. All right. So you do it. So we okay. get some.
That was not where I wanted to roll a 6.
I was like, oh, I want you to fail. I don't want all these people to die.
Yeah, okay. So we get some panels that show him like running and like throwing these things and you like looking at it, and like some of them you're going like, yeah, whatever, that's not gonna hurt somebody. Yeah. Others you're going like and just taking them out as you run. No. Oh,
okay, that one's fine. Okay. No.
Yeah.
All right. That makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, we definitely get one that like even like hits a Falcon agent right in the chest.
Ugh.
and like it just like clings onto his clothing, and he's like looking down with like a panicked look on his face, and then a little bit of smoke just like
poof, yeah
out the side of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're running down, you're coming down towards the vehicle bay.
Okay.
And as you are running down there, Upload gets to the door, and the door has like a security system on it, but he just like dives into the security system, and then you hear his feet hit the ground on the other side of the door, and then because it's all the connected system right there. So he hops in one side, hops out the other, and then the door dents in towards you, and you hear an enormous slamming sound and like just like moving, scraping metal.
Oh boy.
And now we're back to Puck.
Okay.
So this Falcon director guy is just handing it to a lot of people. And Loadout like kind of looks to you like, do you want me to get Windshear moving, or do you want a hand with this?
Puck would basically be like, start to jog away,
yeah,
but turn backwards and yell, get him some legs or some way that he can move. We can get him out of here, and I will take care of this.
Nice. And she gives a thumbs up and is like starting to change what she's trying to do, because this just making legs isn't working. So yep. She's making him like a little motorcycle-y thing, mm-hmm, to be on.
And John is going to just kind of like slowly jog his way up.
Yeah.
Like, he's not in a hurry.
Yeah.
These people are criminals. If they want to like throw themselves at this guy and get beat down, that's on them.
Okay.
They're
probably at this point starting to show like a little bit of hesitation. And like, you know, being pulled back, someone shoots electricity at him and he just kind of like lifts an arm and it sputters off of something he's wearing. He's got, kind of big bracelets on,
mm-hmm,
that seem to be connected to that.
As Puck makes his way up towards this guy and like gets in close, he can see that he's facing off against a man in like just all smooth black armor.
Okay.
That the readers would recognize as Vapor Fist.
Okay.
Who is like probably the guy in the misty room.
Yeah.
And Vapor Fist is like doing some like ninja kicks and stuff. He's like preparing to fight, and this guy just like punches him right in the face mask, and it like cracks a little bit.
Yeah.
And he just like goes flying backwards.
Yeah.
And Puck is gonna face off against this guy. And there's probably like a lull of like people have either like turned away and trying to find another exit, or they're or they're whatever, or they're back, or they're knocked out.
Yeah. There are some like flyers and climbers that are trying to see, hey, can we get out just through the ceiling somehow?
Yeah. And Puck is going to address this person. Hey, buddy, don't you know that you guys are in violation of federal law here? You're not, or of city law. You're not allowed to operate a federal detention facility inside of city limits.
And he just like turns to you and just like has a look of confusion on his face, which is so common when you use your witty repartee against villains. And he just kind of like takes a little, he just kind of adjusts himself to get back, make sure he's standing in the doorway, because he fills a lot of this doorway.
Yeah.
And he just like raises a hand to you and goes, let's see you enforce it.
I think that what is gonna John? Oh, John's gonna he's gonna burn. He's gonna burn.
Okay,
and summon some magic around him.
Nice. I see a 2 and a 3.
So that's 5, 6, 7, 8.
Nice.
All right. So on a 7 to 9, I mark a condition, but I get 3 hold.
Cool.
And I'm going to mark. I'm gonna mark it hopeless.
Okay. Cool.
It was hopeless or insecure.
And so we get the panel that shows you getting all of the kind of the blackness gathering around you, and the director just rubs the little bracelets around his wrists together, and there's like sparks coming off of them, and then like a little bit of like vague blue energy.
Can I snatch them? His gauntlets?
Yeah.
I want to try to do that.
Okay.
Cool. So seeing the sparks and energy or whatever coming off of his gauntlets or whatever he's wearing.
Yeah, it's basically like think like thick bracelets.
Okay. John is going to target those and start to do some like weird whatever magic hand gestures he has to do to wield this power.
Finger tutting.
Which I've described as finger tutting. Yeah. A la the Magicians TV show, but not as good you
gave
as that.
Them,
yeah.
Thank God you gave them that advertisement.
Yeah, and I'm gonna use my flair, which is snatch, which is that I can spend one burn to use my powers to seize any one object up to the size of a person from someone within view.
Nice. Okay. Cool.
So I don't know if that will actually let me seize both of his gauntlets.
Well, you could spend 2 to seize both, or you could spend 1 to seize one.
I'm going to spend 1 to seize one and see what happens.
Cool.
And so that is probably like a weird, like the finger tutting that John does ends with him like reaching out a hand towards this man, and the attack, the ripple sort of like of heat energy like burns through the air, and we see like there's probably like a moment where his arm like splits into like 3 versions of itself, one that's like a little bit bluer, one that's a little bit redder, and one that's gray.
Nice.
Only one of them is really wearing the gauntlet. And then the gauntlet like drops a little bit, and all his arm collapses back into one version of itself. And then the gauntlet like rides the heat wave towards John or towards Puck.
Nice.
And he grabs it.
Cool.
And just like looks at it a little bit.
Yeah. So there is someone next to you with kind of like a fish looking appearance. And as the gauntlet as the bracelet comes close to them, the scales kind of like start to disappear and become just like human flesh. Like this appears to be like a mutation nullifying sort of thing, but your powers are not mutation,
right?
Yeah.
And so
needless to say, like the people that have physical mutation are like pulling back from you a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause that's freaky and weird and uncomfortable. Like it definitely hurts.
Yeah. John is going to put it inside his jacket. Like he's probably got like a pocket somewhere or something.
And if it's inside of a jacket, it doesn't have any effect. Yeah. This is a comic.
Yeah, he's actually probably, like, I think we've described that the place where he pulls his mask from is like a weird like, third dimensional pocket space that he can
That's
put
true.
Things into.
Yeah.
And so he probably puts it in there. And he just
drops into his lighthouse.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, I'm sure.
The centaur's like, "What is that?"
and Puck is just gonna say, "Using toys is cheating. Like, face me like a real fighter, or face me like a real man."
And so it doesn't look like you're trying to provoke him.
A little bit, yeah.
All right, go ahead and roll to provoke. That's a 5 on the dice.
5 plus what? Provoke
Superior.
Superior, which is 0. And provoke is guilty. Minus 2.
Okay, so that's a 3.
It's a 3. So there's my last advancement.
Okay, so we get a panel that just shows like a smile on his face. And now we're going to jump down to frequency.
Okay.
So there is a fist and head-shaped dent in this big steel door. Yeah,
Ben's running over. He's trying to open that door.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it's going to be difficult or not.
No, that's something you can do relatively easily.
So just pressing the panel.
Yeah,
don't know why my brother didn't just do that for me, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. So you put your hand up and it's like, "Welcome, Agent Gibson," and there's just like a moment of like, Agent Gibson's gonna be in so much trouble. Yeah. And the doors open up and immediately upload just like slumps down onto this side of the door.
Okay. I like sort of catch him.
Yeah, nice. And like looking up, you can see there is someone in just a big mech suit. Right? Like it's just like there's a little caption that says that this is a Falcon Fist. That's too close to Falcon Punch, isn't it?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I think it's good.
If anything, it's like people can be entertained
by that.
It's
an homage. That's okay. Yeah. At best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a like one of the Falcon Fist fighters. It's a style of like mechanized combat gear that they have used when they are helping against threats of a mutagenic nature.
Okay.
But right now, it's mostly just standing in this doorway and starting to, like, it's not going to fit easily through the door, but it can get through it. And basically, picture, like, it definitely has, like, a bird-like look. It's kind of like a squat sort of machine, but it does have, like, big hands. Because it's based off some like mining equipment and stuff like that.
And you know, as the operator moves,
the arms. Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing.
Makes sense.
With kind of like slightly chickeny robot legs.
Okay.
Because Falcon.
Yeah.
Birds.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Bird stuff.
How is Upload doing? Like slumped down, like knocked out completely.
He's definitely got a bloodied nose. He's not unconscious, but like he's dizzy as heck.
Okay,
that caught
really
him very off guard, and like he's not someone who can, like, this isn't gonna kill him.
Yeah,
but like he's coming. He's not gonna be super useful at this moment.
He's not just gonna stand up and be like, "Wow,
yeah. Wow, that was quite a hit."
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna like prop him up against the wall. Let's see what we can do here.
And the voice comes through the machine. It's like, "Kid, I advise you to stand down immediately."
So instead, I'm going to drag him through the doorway to the other side.
Okay, cool.
Like I'm just sort of like I'm just running away. Yeah.
Okay.
So sort of if there's like the other side of the door.
Yeah.
Drag him around so he's out of that hallway.
Yeah.
I'm sure at that point.
Yeah, you can see like an arm come through. It's trying to like work its way through the doorway, but it's a little bit too big for it.
I'm even expecting the guy to be like, "I can't believe that worked."
Hey. Good news, team. We've dealt with Upload and Frequency. Things are going well down here. This is Agent Gibson signing off.
So I think I'm going to use one of my illusions.
Okay.
To, like, the hologram things.
Yeah.
To make it appear that I'm now just running straight down the hallway at him.
Nice. Go ahead and roll to mislead, distract, or the other thing. You have a move related to this.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
In my mind, in the panel, you just see frequency, like, running straight at it. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's not revealed to be a hologram.
Of course not.
But I can't not tell you that.
Yeah, because otherwise things are going to get confusing.
Yeah, you'd be like, all right, directly engage a threat.
Directly engage a threat, then.
which, you know, I could also do, but all right.
That's a 9 on the die.
That's a 12.
That's a 12.
So when I mislead, distract, or trick someone,
yeah.
On a hit, they're fooled, at least for a moment. On a 10 plus, I get to choose 3 of these.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to confuse them for some time.
Nice.
I'm going to expose some kind of weakness or flaw.
Nice.
And create an opportunity.
Cool. All right. So yeah, so the chicken fighter kind of ducks into the building and, like, manages to get through and starts fighting with this hologram version of you. And, like, it works for a little while. Like, it's going to be stuck in this fight, right?
There's a big red button on the back that says eject.
Well, yeah, I'm even thinking, like,
it's a big glowing red weak spot.
It's a hologram.
Yeah.
So it's not like he can trade blows with it.
No,
like,
yeah.
Like, if he goes to punch it, it either has to jump out of the way or he's going to go through it.
Yeah.
That would be the confusion.
Way,
yeah.
Yeah, either way, he's going to continue trying to fight it.
Okay.
So, like, it's like, you know, you've got your fake you hopping around on him and stuff like that, and he's swinging his arms all over the place. And I think, honestly, the visibility from the back of this thing is not super good, and you are a technopath. So you've got, like, more or less he is super distracted and open.
Okay.
And you can also see into, because you also got an opportunity, you can see into the, like, the bay with all the vehicles. This was the guard.
Okay.
Like, once you deal with this, unless an alarm draws more people here, but they're probably a little distracted with the breakout.
So I'm sprinting down at him, like, his back is turned.
Yeah.
And just doing, like, a flying leap onto his back.
Yeah.
I'm picturing, you know, sort of bird-like. So there's a person inside of this larger thing. And there's probably some kind of canopy, you know, especially if it's jury-rigged mining stuff, to protect from falling rocks.
Yeah.
Because I'm just picturing that being, like, you know, the head of the chicken.
Head of a chicken, yeah.
So to give you an idea of where I'm going with
definitely.
This, I'm going to jump up and just, like, start pulling out wires, ripping out hoses and things like that. And I'm sure at some point the head's going to fall off and he's going to have trouble controlling it. So
yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
I'm not taking his head off.
Yeah.
Just the giant robot that he's
perfect. Doing. Yeah. So yeah, you're pulling this stuff out and like he's going like, hey,
he's trying to reach back with
his hands are too big. And, you deal with this thing and the head just, like, slumps forward, and, like, the entire mech just kind of slumps forward, and Gibson is stuck inside of this mech.
Oh, man.
And he's trying to, like, he's using, like, the escape button and, like, trying to, like, just open it, but one of the arms is up in a way that's kind of holding the whole thing shut, and he just kind of, like, slams on the window and goes, like, hey, let me out.
Volume 13, Agent Gibson's Bad Day.
Oh, man.
But yeah, this thing is going
nowhere.
Agent
Gibson, please be the guy who earlier was holding an ice cream and said, hey.
Oh, my God. Yes. Agent Gibson is that guy.
We don't know that, though.
Secret origin. Agent Gibson origins.
Yeah. He was the guy.
He was.
Yeah.
He's. You can
it was his day off.
Yeah.
That's why he wasn't there. But he
got called in. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got
my car. Now my Mac.
He's got a, he's got like a stain on his Falcon shirt. Because he was holding a cone of ice cream.
Ice cream, yeah.
And it spilled a little bit on him because that's what cones do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you've dealt with this guy.
Okay. So I'm going to head back to upload and see how he's doing. If he can get up, we're going to
walk.
If not, okay.
With some help. He's not he's not fist fighting anybody.
But, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
I help him hobble his way through.
Cool. And so you are now in this, like, basically hangar bay that is just filled with Falcon vehicles. all of the different underwater crafts that they use to come in and out. And he gives you a grin and goes, "All right, here are our rides." And just like, there's just like a panel that shows the two of you down there ready to go when the mutants are ready to go.
Okay.
I think the next panel shows Puck just like being flung through the air.
Okay. Yes, we're on the same page.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Just being flung through the air and just like slamming into the wall all the way across the big gap of of the base.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and take a powerful blow.
Okay.
You had that 6- from before. This is that coming.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Coming through. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Take a powerful blow is plus. Oh boy.
Conditions marked. That's 9 on the dice.
So 9 plus 4.
Oh my god.
Lucky number 13.
Yes. So on a 10+, bad things happen.
I choose to remove myself from the situation. Lose control of myself in a terrible way, or 2 options. Puck is going to fly backwards and just hit maybe like one of the cell doors that's like back in place and just kind of like cough up a little bit of blood or something.
Yeah.
And you see it like dripping out under the mask.
Yeah.
Because he's got the big plague doctor mask. And he's just going to look back over the across this like across the gap and yell over. All right. Yep, you were a good fighter. That worked. You have a nice day, sir. I will go back to my business. And he's gonna kind of stand up and salute him a little bit. And Puck is gonna run. Yeah, I guess I have to mark a doom sign. I think that's the way to do this.
You might need to.
So I'm gonna mark a doom sign because I've got to use one of my infinite powers.
Okay.
I can use, I can mark my doom track to use an ability from any playbook. And I think it's the Janus playbook that has like whatever incredible mobility or something. Okay. One of the playbooks has phasing or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something has phasing.
And John is going to like become like there's that because he's still got some of the energy like. He's still crackling off of him. And basically he's going to like evaporate, like he's going to like become, his opacity is going to go down. I've been using a lot of like Photoshop, references in
That's
this
okay.
episode.
This is a visual medium.
And so it's big, he becomes, a little bit see-through and more like that. Like if you almost, or a little bit almost like if you see a person through like the shimmery heat.
Yeah.
And he is just going to like, fall backwards through the whatever this cell door is that he's like slammed up against.
Yeah.
And then through that wall and probably through a hallway and through another couple hallways.
Yeah.
And he is just like getting out of here and he's going to go find like an office room or something.
Yeah.
It's just like well away from this conflict.
Nice.
And he was just like, he can't be here. He's panicking a little bit.
Okay, great. I think we get a panel that shows you like jumping into like the break room. And like, so there's like a fridge and a couple tables and stuff like that. But no, like the base is currently on a bit of an alert.
Yeah.
No one is taking a break right now.
He phases.
But there's even a couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He finds an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Peels off the top, the wrapper. He's looking for comfort. And he can't be in combat right
now. Okay. Perfect. So at that point, we go back to you, Frequency.
Yes.
And you get a shout over the comms. What the hell? You're... Ren just left.
Oh, boy.
We could really use some help down here. And we get a shot that shows Loadout is now in fist combat with the director. She's got, like, some vague, like, armoring on her arms, but she can't build or change stuff because he does have one of those gauntlets, like, active, right?
Okay.
But she is, like... She's got a slash through his shirt, and like you can see that like she got him a little bit, but he has a hand around like the big laser machine gun, and is starting to just like crush the metal.
And these are all really big vehicles. You can't like steal a vehicle and drive it through here.
You can't if you're concerned about the base and the vehicle.
Yeah, I know. I can steal one and just drive through the big dome up top.
Oh, I wasn't even talking about that.
Oh, that's
I was saying, like, I think you could take one of those, one of the fists, because there are other fists down here.
Oh, okay. There's just no other guards actively doing it.
Yeah, just like, you'll do a lot of damage to the hallway and the fist.
If I go after him, I can't use any of my powers or anything like that.
Essentially. You can't use them directly on him. So Upload is going like, oh, shit. Oh, God. You told us we could trust him.
Listen, we don't know what's going on out there. So, for, you know, for Puck, for John to run away from something, that there's got to be something going on back there. But we got to make sure you're okay. We got to make sure that Leah's okay. We got to make sure that all these people are okay.
Jesus, I'm going to kill her. We should have sent a bigger team. I knew we should have sent a bigger team.
It's okay. Like, look, it's okay. We can handle it. We just need to play this smart.
Go ahead and roll to comfort and support.
It's a 7.
It's a 7. Not enough for your failure. All right. So, when you comfort or support, on a hit, they hear you. They mark potential, clear a condition, or shift labels if they open up to you. So, I think we get that scene. We get that panel, and we get, like, the two of you like kind of like face-to-face. And he just looks like tired, and he like leans his head forward and it bumps against your head for a moment. And it's just like this brother's supporting brother's moment. And he closes his eyes and he goes, you're right. Okay. Okay. Let's do this. I'm not real combat focused. Yourself?
Not really. No, but I think I have an idea for how we can do this.
Nice. So what's the next panel look like after that?
So the two of us are running out to, or we're already in the vehicle bay.
Yeah.
And over Ben's shoulder, as he says that, is the line of mechs.
Nice.
In the back. And so probably we, you know, you turn the page.
Yeah.
And on the next side you have, are we calling him the director?
Yeah, we're calling him the director for now.
You've got the director standing there. Leah is probably even, I'd say, like, on the ground now, like probably tripped over something.
He's got one of her big gloves in his hand, and he just like crushes it with his fist.
From, you know, off on the corner, like a speech bubble comes in, but it's a different type of like font.
Yeah.
And it's like zigzaggy lines. So it's very like robotic.
Cool.
Voice, that says, something along the lines of like, hey, bozo. I don't know why. I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
Why don't you pick on something your own size?
Nice.
And as it zooms out, there's this mech behind him.
Yeah.
With, you know, the thing down. You can't see who's in it or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a comic. There's no actual voice. There's just text.
Right.
And it's like in a fighting pose, ready to fight him.
Nice. And so he turns around and like, not for nothing, this is something his own size.
Exactly. You know,
this is like a personal mech thing. And he sees it and he goes like, agent, stand down.
And the thing just comes
forward.
Coming towards him.
He just growls out, that's an order. And I assume now we're about to do some fighting.
We're getting ready to do some fighting. It's coming in closer.
He, at that point, just gets like a sneer on his face, and he rolls up his sleeves, and like, this guy is just so huge, and he just rolls the sleeves up and just surges forward to fist fight a friggin' mech.
Okay. As he's coming in, the mech like drops a foot backwards to brace and just like gets ready and braces for the impact.
Yeah. And he comes in with a fist coming right towards the front. The front window. He knows how to hit it because he's been involved with these things.
Okay. So a hand is going to come out. In a weird way, it's doing a defend move.
Okay.
The mech's hand is coming in.
Okay. To block
the fist coming in.
Great.
But I'm telling you, it's a defend move.
Okay. That's an 8 on the dice.
I rolled a 9.
Nice. You keep them safe and choose one. Add a team to the pool. Take influence over someone you protect or clear a condition.
I think I'll clear a condition.
Cool.
I'm going to get rid of insecure.
You also are going to be exposing yourself to danger or escalating the situation?
Okay. I will be escalating the situation in some way, I believe.
Okay.
So as soon as that, so it still does sort of defend it though, right?
Yeah, it does defend it.
Okay. The hand drops down, like the mech hand drops down and sort of stops the punch.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he makes contact with that, because he's got this thing on that stops mutations and powers and stuff, Jamie is forced out of the mech. He was,
I see,
he
that's
was
what
inside,
you're defending.
He was inside of the mech as using his powers.
Yeah.
So he has to pop out of the mech.
Yeah.
But he sort of does it like up in the air to like topple down behind him.
Yeah. Cool.
Because he's going to go after Leah.
Nice. Yeah. So, oh, that's good. So yeah, so we get the panel of him just like being hurled out of the mech, maybe some swinging arms in the air, landing and then like quickly running and just like getting an arm underneath Leah. And she's like, I don't need your help. He's like, you need my help. And they're kind of like, you know, he wrestles her up onto her feet. And so is this like a deactivated mech essentially at this point?
What's his name thinks it is.
So the director pulls his hand back from the mech and turns around to face the two of them and just goes, wait, you've given away your one advantage. You had one chance to stop me. I'm going to lock every one of you dirty muties back in your cages.
There's a tap on his shoulder of the giant
nice
hand.
Big finger, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the same like lightning speech bubble, same spot over his shoulder, same font and everything like that. That says, like, don't call us muties. We still have a voice.
Nice.
And so the mech is still powered up.
Yeah.
Because frequency is around the corner controlling the mech, patched into it.
Nice.
Like Jamie was just taken along for a ride.
Yeah.
And so it's going to just kind of go, attack him.
Roll to directly engage a threat.
Okay. Oh, no. It's a six.
It's a six?
It's a six.
Okay. Mm. It starts to just like swing fists and like go into a full fight with him. When we get a couple of panels of the two of them just exchanging blows. And like this mech is punching him and he's standing strong through the punch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hitting the mech back and like there's sparks and metal coming off of it. Then we get Loadout just charging forward with her sword like held in both hands and just swinging it at the director's legs. So he has to like quickly jump to avoid being hit by them.
Okay.
And she's going to spend a team from the pool to bring you to a 7-9.
Nice.
So what do you want to do from the 7-9 list?
I want to take something from them.
Nice. What do you want to take from them?
That extra power bracer thing that they have.
Cool. Okay.
Not extra, but the second.
The second one, yeah. So is that being taken by the machine or?
I mean, I want to take it from them so they don't have it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it breaking it.
Okay, cool.
Like, I don't need to walk away with it, but so it hits it and damages it at least.
Perfect, yeah. So I think then we get the, like, he jumps, the mech grabs onto his arm and just crushes the bracer. And, like, it doesn't, like, cut his arm, hand off or anything like that, but just breaks the bracer.
Yeah.
And then he just takes his full weight and sort of, like, does a flip of the thing over his shoulder and just hurls the mech out into the open space.
Down the pit.
Yeah. But at that point, he no longer has the ability to block mutation. And man, does he get run down.
Oh, no.
The mutants just surge forward. And we get a shot that shows Windshear just lifting him into the air. And just like with a contemptuous look on his face, just slamming him into the wall. And the wall just, like him being pushed hard enough that he's just pushing further into the wall, even without the momentum from it. And at that point, we now get like, I think our next panel just shows Windshear's face close up. And we see his hand turning and he's starting to just squeeze his fingers together. And he is going to kill this man.
Oh, no. I can't let that happen.
Okay.
I can't let that happen. Like, I think I'm just going to call out to Windshear, like, Windshear, stop. It's not worth it. We need to get everyone out of here.
Yeah. Great. Go ahead and roll plus superior.
What's that? That's a provoke, right?
It's a 10 plus your superior.
So 13.
So yeah, so Windshear like looks towards you and he closes his eyes for a minute and then lets go. And the director just falls and thumps onto the ground, big smoke cloud. All right, let's get out of here then. And I think the next panel shows just a bunch of mutants getting into all sorts of underwater vehicles. Puck, mm-hmm. What are you up to?
I'm, I guess, in this break room.
Yeah.
Kind of panicking a little bit.
Okay.
Like, when we started this adventure, John, I had rearranged John's labels to put his danger to -2.
Yeah.
And over the course of the adventure, his labels had increased and he had started to see at least up to 0. So mm-hmm. he had started to see himself as like the capable fighter that he has been in the past again.
Yeah.
And he just like faced off against a big foe.
Yeah.
Who like basically like
swatted him
down. And yeah. So that's like, he's back into like the, who am I? What do I do? How do I hero?
Yeah.
Like this, I've got this overwhelming, like if I can't even face off against this one dude who runs Falcon, how am I going to take on this Doom?
Yeah.
Depression cycle he's been in for a little while.
Yeah.
And I think that not knowing anything else about what happened, because he's removed himself from the situation, John needs to call someone for help. John needs to call someone who can control this situation.
Okay.
He thought he could do it. But yeah. I think that he would call the Lunar Lens.
Okay.
Because she is someone who is like a symbol of control and helps people in the city.
Okay.
And like we were just in her house basically recently.
Yeah.
And so John would kind of be like laying on this couch in this break room. He pulls out his phone. Like, I always imagine that he has like the phone like strapped to his chest somewhere, which is how they communicate. It's always just on like speakerphone.
Yeah.
And so he pulls it off and probably takes off his mask.
Okay.
And he is going to call the Lunar Lens for help.
Okay, cool. So she says, hello.
Hi. Is this the Lunar Lens? That feels really weird to say.
No, it's quite all right. I'm very used to it. Who may I ask is this?
I'm friends with one of the kids who lives in your orphanage, Ben and Sage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My name is John. You might know me as Puck.
Oh, Puck. Yes. Is there an emergency?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know that there is a Falcon base out in the bay?
No.
There's a Falcon base out in the bay.
All right. And you can hear at this point that there's definite, like, despite the fact that her voice is like pretty calm and even, you can hear that there is action happening in the background.
Is something ruffling her feathers?
Her feathers are proper ruffled.
There were a whole bunch of prisoners here, and like Windshear is here, and there's a lot of just mutants, and we opened all the cells, and everything has just gotten chaotic, these people are criminals. They need to go to jail, but they deserve a trial, and Falcon wasn't doing that, and that's why we came here, but like it's gotten completely out of hand, and they need you to come help.
Yeah, and like through that like a huge big text bubble, we also have like in the background like slam. Good. Like sounds of like her getting in her jet, and like also like little like mini bubbles from her going like, "Yes, honey. You just go take care of that. That won't be a problem. Would you just mind keeping an eye on them? They might get into a little bit of, yes, I'll be back. I should be back by 8. and then like a panel that just shows the basketball court opening up and like full on Xavier Mansion, X-Men style, this like jet flinging out from there.
No powers.
Someone yells up at her.
Yes.
Would that be sharing a vulnerability or weakness with her?
Oh,
I did also kind of like tell her who I was.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So,
So
I will give her influence over me.
Okay.
Which I believe she already has.
I think she already has.
And I didn't do anything like that. So she'll get to shift my labels. John will just come back and just be like, do you think that you can come and help? Like, do you think we can make this better? I'm sorry that I made this so much worse. Like, do you think that there's do you think there's hope for me?
Yeah. And so we get like a panel that shows her inside the jet. And It is a Quinjet with the labels filed right off. And she just says, "Of course, Puck. None of us heroes got to be where we were by doing it entirely on our own. It's good that you reached out. I'm glad that you did. That was the smart thing to do. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's go save Ben and get this whole thing wrapped up. Thank you. I might lose you here." And then we get the panel of the jet just like slamming into the water at like 180 miles per hour. And I think that, yeah, you do lose her there.
Okay.
And she raised your superior and lowered... No, actually, she raised your savior and lowered your mundane.
And I think that at this point, like, if she said, yes, there's hope,
yeah,
then I think it might be time for me to try to not, like, go back, because obviously I can't fight the director, but, like, it might be time to go back and find Ben. I've got to find my friend.
Yeah. And I think that would be easy enough to do because you have communicators.
Yeah.
And so, like, the next panel, I think, shows you looking into the bay with all of the vehicles, mm-hmm. and just seeing, like, probably 200 mutant criminals of various kinds, yeah. although some of them more innocent than others, piling into all of the Falcon crafts.
Yeah, and I'd put my mask back on, so he's in Puck mode again.
Nice. So, you're probably in one of these vehicles, right?
I'm really hoping there's one of them that's a, like, I don't want to say amphibious because that's not technically the correct word.
Okay.
But it can go underwater, but it's basically a giant version of a drone.
Nice. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
We can do that. So, yeah. So
We didn't leave Puck behind, right? I wouldn't leave him behind.
No, you haven't left yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But, like, people are getting into the vehicles, right?
Gotcha.
And, like, this is probably the moment where you're going, like, wait, why is Puck not here? Because him running, presumably he'd be running to here or leaving even, maybe.
Yeah.
But you two can communicate.
Yeah.
I'm picturing this kind of like the Star Wars scenes where they're getting ready to all get in their X-Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just if that gives any context for
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha.
So yeah, so we've got like the wide panel that just shows everybody gathering into the different things. And Frequency, you're set up with kind of like that drone you were talking about.
It's a Hex Wing.
Perfect.
Hex.
I know. So, yeah. I got it. I was trying to figure out underwater was a good...
Oh, wow. I don't think it is.
Nope.
No.
Loadout is like standing in the middle, just like calling out like, "Everybody load up, get as many people as you can on each craft. We need to get out of here now, because very soon there's going to start being..." And there's an explosion in the background from the control center going off. And she kind of like gives a little oops sort of look and shoots a glare at Upload. And he kind of, took longer than I expected.
I'm just looking around for Puck.
Yeah.
Like where did he go?
So I think you see him coming around the doorway.
Okay.
Yeah. Because this is where everyone mm-hmm. is headed.
Yeah. And I would have followed people and I knew we were eventually going to end up here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I glanced at the plan.
Yeah. And
you did.
So we get like a great panel that shows him like, so what are you looking like? Are you still looking defeated? Are you looking back on your feet?
I think I'm back on my feet. I'm not doing like typically Puck like runs places.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing that. I'm kind of just like meandering a little bit.
Okay.
So like the way he's moving is a little bit out of character.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm still standing upright. I'm still got the mask on.
Yeah.
I'm just not kind of like nearly as twitchy and like hyper as he is normally.
Okay, cool. Okay.
As soon as I see you like turn that corner, I like run over to you. Almost like I'm going to like just run over and like give you a big bear hug. Like I was worried, but like, yeah, we're too cool for that.
Yeah.
I just kind of stop and I'm like, "Hey, Leah said you ran. Is everything okay? Are you okay?"
Yeah, I'm okay. I fought the guy, the director, and he hit me pretty hard and I just panicked and I had to get out of there and I just couldn't be there and I'm sorry.
No, don't.
I shouldn't have.
Don't be sorry. You're still here. We took care of it like as a team. We're good. You're okay. I'm glad you're okay.
You're okay?
You made the right choice.
Okay. Okay. Also, I called the Lunar Lens. She's coming, I think. Hopefully, maybe bringing people.
Wait, you called Lunar Lens?
Yeah.
And then we get a panel that shows, like, there's, like, the big door that's going to open to let all of the vehicles out. And, like, outside of that is the Lunar Lens's jet thing. And it's just kind of, like, floating in the water. And you can see that its lasers are starting to heat up because it's going to blast its way in here to find you.
Like, everything was out of control, and people were in danger, and you were in danger, and, like, all of these people, they need to go to jail, and I needed to call someone, and...
That's fine. I'm going to be in so much trouble, but...
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't think about that.
I'm going to try opening that door, so she doesn't have to laser her way through it.
She doesn't have to laser her way through it.
Yeah.
The door opens up, and, like, you can see Loadout is... just like looking down at her weapons and making little adjustments and getting ready to throw down because this looks like a throwdown to her. And there's other mutants that are like getting ready for stuff. And she just brings her craft in and like lands it.
And I try like almost just over the speakers.
Yeah.
Like everybody, it's okay. It's okay. It's not a threat. Just remember, we need to evacuate. We need to get out of here. And then I turn to you like, John, they've been planting explosives along the way. They're going to try and take the space out. We need to get everybody on these crafts. We need to get them out. It may not be a good idea to help Falcon agents, but we need to make sure that there's enough for them to get out too.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah.
Okay. Just, yeah, reading you into the whole situation here.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. No, yeah, they're way out of line, but they're people. Like, we don't kill people. We help people.
That's right.
We help people.
They're citizens of the city.
And Lunar Lens has like lifted the front foil of her vehicle to look out and see you, and she's like, Puck.
I guess I'd wave.
You did tell me that you were in trouble. It looks like this is more or less handled.
I hear
explosives? I very much feel like I heard you whispering about explosives.
I think Falcon's got some like self-destruction fail-safes.
Frequency, go get in the ship and we're leaving right now and we will talk when we're out.
Yeah, I'm just making sure everyone makes it out.
We will talk when you're out.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think the next panel just shows like her craft like getting out of the water and then all of these Falcon... mostly aquatic things, just like floating up to the top.
I would try to get into a different submersible.
Okay.
Like, I want, like, as soon as I know that Ben is okay,
yeah,
that's good. And like, but I don't want to go with his siblings.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. His siblings are definitely like partying it up in one of theirs. And when you get to the top of the water and like there's all of these submersibles coming up so that some kind of plan of where we're going can be made, all of the crafts are going more or less the same way. They know that they aren't out of the water yet. Lunar Lens is up in her jet, kind of floating above everything. And of course, her jet does have some lasers on it because she used to work with Crawdad a lot. But also, when you come to the top, there is an enormous transport boat, like the ones that gets the big shipping containers.
Mm-hmm.
And standing on the edge of it in a long brown duster that looks like beat up but armored and like very much... here to throw down and get into some bad business with just an enormous, like almost sniper rifle in her hands, is Hermosa Vida.
Ooh. Ooh.
She has some leftover burning on her forehead. It doesn't look like it's going to be a scar there forever because she has her sort of regenerative plant powers, but it's taking some time. So she's up there and she kind of like looks up at Lunar Lens and then looks down to where the vehicle with upload and loadout is, and that pops open the top, and she asks, did you get him?
Oh.
And they say, yeah, we did. And all the rest of them. And she just kind of gives a big smile and says, all right, we've saved the mutants. Now it's time to save the rest of the city. And you can see, like, they're starting to bring the crafts over to this big transport. And, like, ladders have been let down. And there's other people. Like, you can see the miscreants are on the boat among, like, a bunch of other crew. And they're, like, helping people to get up. Basically, she's gathering all of the mutants from down there onto this boat. But we also have a problem that Lunar Lens is up there looking to arrest a lot of these people.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
So I got onto a boat.
Yeah.
Somebody's submersible.
Okay.
So presumably they drove it over or sailed it over.
Presumably trying to get over there.
And so I would, I guess, recognize Hermosa Vida because I saw her. Actually, I saw her get injured. I saw her. Yeah. Well, I saw her.
You saw her at the hospital.
At the hospital.
Else. Yeah.
And I know who she is.
Yeah.
And
she's a figure.
So Puck would go over to her and say, this is real smart. I'm glad that you brought this. This is like we could, this way we can get everyone onto this boat and then like we could take them to jail. Right?
And she gives you a look and says, Puck, right?
Yeah. He strikes like a
and Peter she Pan and like in that same panel we see Windshear being helped on up over the side. He's not doing well. He's still in the modesty skivvies. She like looks over to him and says, make sure he's okay. I'll be down there in a second for him. Listen, Puck, this isn't a transfer. We're not moving innocent people to a jail. We're taking back our right to exist.
Many of these people are criminals.
And she kind of like gives a little laugh and says, if they weren't mutants, they'd be walking the street. You maybe wouldn't understand. And then she like looks up towards where Lunar Lens is and just like pulls out, like has like someone hands her like a megaphone and she calls into it. I think that you should stand down now. We're leaving with all of these people and you're not going to do anything about it because you know how bad this could go. Frequency, what are you doing?
I'm surprised that my siblings are working with her, but not like...
Yeah, she's ostensibly a good guy.
Yeah. I think, you know, I'm feeling some relief that at least, you know, this isn't... You know,
this isn't a villain.
Giant evil villain thing. Inherently. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm almost just watching.
Okay.
I guess I'm almost just going to ask, I'm just going to ask them, like Leah and Jamie, like what is this all about?
Look, Falcon has been running big parts of our city for too long. They think they can just take mutants off the street and just hold on to them forever. No trial, no questions. That stops. This is us saying we're done with it. This is us saying we're done with Falcon. And Leah kind of looks to you and like she's looking much more concerned that you're not on board for this. And she says, the Mutant Freedom Front is here to make it so that Falcon can't operate in Protean City anymore. We don't want their interference. We don't need their interference. We can protect our own. And it's just time for them to step out. Whew. What do you say? Want to join the fight?
I'm not sure. Like, you know, Falcon's here to protect the city.
And how much has Falcon helped you out? Do you think you can trust him? Because they've got an awful lot of power without a whole lot of oversight.
I don't know if we can trust them, but this feels like we're going to war.
Yeah. We are.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.